Greetings. Bonjour. Hope you guys are doing well.
Hey, folks. Welcome to In Evil Podcast. This is Chris Jansen. Evil is the destruction of freedom. I got a special episode for you today. I'm in the backyard here with the wonderful Leslie Powers on her birthday. I'm all back. And we got the magical, wonderful Eric Lucelli here with us visiting. Wow. So we're just going to sit down. A nice little philosophy.
We got the eyes, so see you.
Yeah. Yep.
And we got Sam with us sniffing the ground, sniffing out turtles. We thought it'd be a good time to have a chat about various intriguing topics.
Yeah.
Good old Daddy Law.
Yeah, we've been talking about some things, and also, obviously, yeah, we haven't been on Dissolving the Divide for quite some time. We can get into that later, but yeah, what's on your mind, Chris? What was the main reason you wanted to hit record?
Well, I know once we pop into one topic, it can lead to others, but
yeah, we're just gonna...
we were kind of riffing on moral relativism in day-to-day life and how technology started to really infringe upon. Who knows where that's going to take us next. You know, the way things are changing so quickly right now, there's new grounds of what's right and wrong. Or is there? Is it all the same? And kind of in my mind, it's always all amounts to the same thing. But I loved your presentation about AI, artificial intelligence.
I'm at Freedom Under Natural Law.
Freedom Under Natural Law Congress. So,
which we're preparing for that fifth one coming up.
February 20th and 21st.
And it's online, so we're using the technology of online, the technology of our recording devices. But now that we're getting into starting to use a little bit of AI technology here and there, it brings up these questionable thoughts and feelings on how much should we be using that and how ethical is it?
So yeah. I'll say a couple of things about the technology is I think that we've seen the trend, right, that more and more people are spending more time on their phones, online, all matters of business is connected somehow to your phone. So if you don't have a phone, you can't do your second, what is it, that authentication things that are being required. There's all this ways of technologies forcing us to interact between two objects, technical objects like your computer and your phone at the same time. And then the whole password nightmare, right? So it's like whether you like it or not, you end up getting stuck spending an inordinate amount of time fucking around online. And it adds to me, it adds a whole level of agitation and frustration because it's pulling me away from being really present in my home, with my family, you know, it adds up and it taxes me, right? So my patience goes down and it's just pulling us away more and more from real life interactions, which I think is the answer. I think we need to pull away from so much of the online and go into in-person forums and community building activities.
Yeah, and I'll just share something because I mentioned this to you, it was like yesterday, Leslie, on regards to just like the youth and this and that, and your observations, because I've kind of noticed this as well, and just like thought about it, and it kind of clicked of how, you know, how the online, you know, sensation of, you know, all this instant information or instant gratification, especially catered towards the younger generation, can have people in real life feeling that frustration just based off of little impatience of how it's not that instant gratification that you're getting on a digital scale, but in, you know, it's not the same in real life and stuff. And so, and also with like conversations, like they don't get that instant gratification from getting their yes man, yes woman, or their blue thumbs and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's just like things that cross my mind on that stuff. And yeah.
I think it's really true that people want immediate answers. You know, they text you, they think you should be online, at that moment you answer back. They get offended if it says it's red, but they don't not answer. You know, there's all sorts of assumptions and arguments that I've seen occur over that desire for instant gratification. Yeah, it's incredible.
I was trying to think about where, you know, the line of discernment of when something becomes evil. You know, when something becomes a form of stealing, right? Like lies is one of those ones that can be, people talk about white lies, right? Like, we've all told various things that aren't 100% honest for, sometimes it even seems like a possibly good reason you might tell something that's a bit of a lie.
I call it sick, but you're really not sick.
Right. Well, that's a lightweight one, it seems like. But maybe you protect someone's feelings or don't, you know, someone's going to have a mental breakdown if you say something. So why even say it, even though you feel like maybe you should? There's obviously a spectrum of worse and way worse things we could do out there. And okay, in terms of interacting with the internet or the changing technology as it becomes now AI, right, where for instance, if I ask AI to make an image for me, which is something I do quite a bit, it might go out there and grab this and that from all kinds of other art. And is it cheating? Is it stealing? If you're taking elements of other people's stuff and merging them into a new thing, well, all music is that. All art is borrowing to a certain extent. You know, it's not you doing it. It's this sort of
non-human entity.
Right, this other thing that's doing it, this brain that we've created, which is a computer, essentially. It's a self-thinking machine.
It's like a database of fields. Accumulation of thoughts and knowledge. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's worth telling the truth. Is it?
Right, you could be deceived. And lots of people could be deceived. Right? And it's this made up mind, this developing of thought process that we call AI. But at what point does it become evil? You know, the very idea of it, you know, we can think of all kinds of early versions. You know, what do you think there? Not big, but I think it was saying so.
I think that, I think that he's asking about at what point does it become evil, right? And the thought that came to my mind was about the coercion. There's a certain coerciveness going on around narrowing our choices to get from A to point A to point B, having these certain automated structures. You know, I just called AAA the other day. They don't want me to talk to a person. They want me to talk to
a robot.
You know, and it's very detached and
impersonal.
Right? And is that evil? I mean, it is, in a sense, it's a slow burning coercion of taking away my choice, my ability to interact with other humans, right? And if you don't have, you know, like if you don't have a credit card, but you want to pay for the hotel, and you want to pay with cash, you can't pay with cash.
They make you do like a $200 or $400.
Right. So you could have already paid for the room and then be denied access to it because you don't have a credit card to you know, there's all sorts of subtle ways that we're being coerced to force to use technology.
There's usually a workaround if you push, but it seems like it's gotten harder.
It's gotten harder. And then there's consequences to that, right? And the consequences to that could be harming people, but it's like those entities themselves don't care. They're not acting with the idea that this policy is a moral one. It's that this is just our policy. We have reasons for it. And sorry if you end up in the streets and, you know, get murdered. You know, whatever,
it's like, right? Care isn't programmed into these systems. And it's questionable whether care can be programmed.
And these systems are for profit a lot of times. So it's just going over my mind, you know, thinking about, AAA, for example, from a business perspective, they're looking to, cut down costs in certain ways. So the automated teleprompter thing, whatever, especially initially, instead of having like an operator and all that stuff, and like having like 1,800 operators across the nation and all that stuff. So I get that to a degree, but at the same time, businesses do pay attention, especially in America, to the customer service. And, a lot of people don't like this automated crap and like the digital dialing maze that we got to go through with our fingers to, this number, okay, and this and that. Like, if we talked to an operator, it would have been done like a lot sooner and this and that, a lot less money.
You have something, a little bit of an exception. It's telling you to push this for push number one. If this is your issue, push number two. If this is your issue. You're like, well, my issue's not on that list of numbers, so I'm over here just yelling, operator, give me a person, getting zero over and over. Because it's like, all those numbers don't even address what I want to talk about.
Right.
And
sometimes the links they send you don't work, and you can get tangled up in wasting time. And to me, that is stealing.
They don't care about
wasting my time. Because my time is valuable. And my time is not being considered. And that's part of the frustration. It's what feels very wrong about a lot of it. And
going back to the question, is it wrong or like coercive, really, just because a business wants to change some of the way it functions and interacts with its customers and this night?
Not necessarily.
So, but at the same time, it's like we see the patterns of things shifting towards more of the digitization and automation and all these things, right?
No,
it's not by coincidence. And it's not.
There's just
always by saving money about it either.
There's a certain spirit of thievery in my mind of the magic of life. We keep veering more to the artificial and the man-made is one thing, but when everything around us becomes man-made products. And that's all we're dealing in day to day. We've somehow become completely disconnected from non-man-made things. And there's so much magic in communication of realization of what is divine, what is beautiful, and what is true love that is built into that system, our interaction with the natural environment systems. It's so interrupted at this point, from everything from the weather to how you get your food to how hot or cold it is and the structures you're living in. When the sun's hitting your face and what wavelengths of light at what times of day, all these factors are really truncating your ability to connect with the natural flow. And that is a robbery for when you think about generations of children being born basically in a rat fucking maze.
Well, indoors,
instead of
his technology.
What God and the universe fucking created as the learning environment.
The other piece is the question is, what is the effect on humans, especially children, of interacting mostly with machines? And so they took these monkeys that were newborn baby monkeys, and they had one group in the experiment that they took away the mother, but they just put like a non-animate feeding source. And the animals that didn't have the mother, the body, the comfort, the presence, the touch, they were a failure to thrive. No matter how much food they had, they were emotionally, physically, and psychologically being thwarted in their development. So I think that there's going to be a long, slow impact to the negative around our social, emotional, and psychological health because of the disconnection from other human beings. Because we need to be interacting with other human beings in order to learn how to, well, there's all sorts of I think connections energetically and, you know, emotionally, socially, that are very important to our mind, body, and spirit. It isn't easy to measure sometimes. But then there's also the communication skills, conflict resolution skills, the problem solving skills, the writing skills, all of the skills that now are being taken away from humans.
The humility skills.
Yeah. And so where are we going to be left?
Humility, we'll start with Hume.
Wow, that's a new Hume.
That looked like Hume. I bet you have to do dirt.
And who is that? Who's responsible? Who's responsible for this? You know, for where this goes.
Well, how do you? That was my other question that I know is occurring to me. Is like, let's say you do say that, okay, the way things are going is too far, too gone. It's getting unethical, even evil at certain aspects when you consider where AI is going to go in its natural progression without a conscience creating this fake. This fake being, it's like creating a Frankenstein. Yeah. So let's say you do reject that idea and concept and you don't want to go with the rest of society. How would you even fight it? Because so many things that we do already tie us in, like having to have certain licenses or insurance or things just to operate. It's kind of like that AI is going to be integrated in all those things within a short amount of time from where we're at. How would you even, I guess just like anything else we do progressively any way you can, how would you even resist the rise of technology, at this point, even if you did disagree with that ethic?
Well, Derek Rose talks about that in his conscious resistance work. Yeah, sure. And he has strategies around that, around growing our own food, unschooling or disconnecting from the school system, finding alternatives to banks and the money system, maybe crypto, accounts and things like that. Really, there's certain temptations around, conveniences. And it's very hard to work through and be super strict to say no to certain things. But the more we say no to, the less we're feeding the beast, the more we're able to hold on to an alternative way of life that's quickly becoming extinct. Using cash.
Mm-hmm. Mind if I share a story real quick? I got a haircut for the first time in like 3 years. I've been cutting my hair myself. I go to this one place, there's some cool Vietnamese one, and I was chatting my therapist. It was just like such a free flow. Like that day whisked away so magically. And I just chatted with her for like, it felt like 5 minutes. And like my hair was already done. I'm like, wait, we're done already? Like, what the hell? But one of the things we talked about was, I mentioned something about, because she's like, you're trying to take our jobs from us, you're cutting your own hair. Because I told her, like, yeah, and this is the first time the last time I had my hair cut, it was with you guys, several years ago and all that stuff. Anyways, that kind of segued into, a topic of, like, AI. Because I saw a commercial, like, the other day, previously, them talking about, like, AI can't take this job. AI can't do this, And so I was, like, reiterating that to her. And was like, hey, I can't do your job, so don't worry about me, because I still want to respect, that human interaction. It's, like, cool to just, like, talk to someone and stuff. And she lived in Italy, I'm in France, and so it's, like, political dance, and other goes,
I was talking to somebody the other day about his prediction of AI, and he said, well, any job that isn't involve your physical body, like you're lifting, moving, cutting, is at risk of being lost to AI. And
look at the technology that already exists.
But even like as a psychotherapist, right now, people are turning to AI to be like therapists, especially when they can't afford going to get therapy. They're just talking to like a being. It's not all bad because they are getting, educated feedback and learning about themselves. And it's available any time of the day at night, They have to wait until their appointment time. But I will say that you could do that, but you're still going to miss something from the actual human, because those machines, they can't read all of your, I don't know. I think there's going to be a limitation that's ultimately going to be felt.
Totally. Yeah. People are going to be all of a sudden like, oh, wait, there's things that are missing that human element. Like, they feel alienated all of a sudden sometimes. Yeah. So it'll click, and then they're like, yeah, want to return back to some of the old ways. Yeah.
You can't be really satisfied in a immaterial.
I don't know.
It's like the, I would like to read maybe the original book. I don't even know the author who did the original book, Frankenstein, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've seen a lot of the dramatizations. I've seen plays built on Frankenstein and, you know, some old movie. There's probably more than one. I'm sure there are.
Well, the original book is available.
It would be good to listen to, because I feel like it's a very good allegory for what we kind of all know deep down is the truth. It's like the same thing in Jurassic Park, right? You create a monster, you create a situation where a monster can grow out of control and it turns into this thing that eats you, you know, like, or even the Little Shop of Horrors, you know, this plant that you're feeding humans to, starts with little drops of blood, you're giving up your essence of your body to this thing, you know, it's sucking your blood, and then increasingly you got to feed it other beings. And it's the same thing with a corporation. It's the same thing with a lot of things we use. I've even thought about simple things as laundry machines and dryers and dishwashers. Like, there was this whole phenomenon in the early 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever years, when they're like, oh, we're going to have time-saving devices. Then you guys don't have to work so much, right? Yeah. But then we have to work more, earn the money to get the time-saving devices, to get the power, to power the house, to run all the time-saving devices, and that costs all the time. Otherwise, then we would have just been hanging out outside, washing our clothes in the freaking river together, and we would have been chatting and all this stuff.
Very fulfilled.
Yeah. Instead, we're not connected to nature, and
our nervous
system. We're like on a whip and a chain, and carrying our ball around, trying to make enough money to pay for all these time-saving devices.
Yeah,
but we see people together in line mass, but they're not like chatting it up because they're just on a phone, like. You know what I mean? So
I was just going to say, you know, the lifestyle that this is leading us to is is dysregulating in our nervous system. And it's also, we're exposed to all of these electronic frequencies, EMFs, and often are inside more, or we're even like the way your spine changes by looking down at your phone. Like, chiropractors hate that. And there's so many like subtle impacts that are changing the human being in a way, if we don't, they can take us even more away from being human fully if we're not careful. So it's like, how do we have to combat that by putting our feet in the grass and interacting with nature, like you were saying, and interacting with humans and going inward for our answers.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation from earlier. We're talking about AI, technology, morality, and how that all weaves together. And we had some device trouble running out of batteries and such, or space, storage space, something like that.
On two devices.
So yeah, multiple times.
We lost some significant parts of our
phone. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're still on a little bit of technological trouble, so, which brings to mind the next question I was going to put before. Come sit down, dude.
No! One last thing.
What's not technical is this book, written by Chris, published this year. Check it out, yeah.
Yeah.
Hope it changed my life.
Thank you so much for getting you guys. I appreciate
it. Yeah. Good book to check out on this topic.
Thank you. Is that all my notes?
It's
So technology, AI, instead of, we can just go on all night bitching about AI and how much it's going to be evil, it's going to fuck up.
How much time you
But we shouldn't do it, right? Which is, thus, it seems like those things aren't true. Like, come on, humanity, what are we doing here? This is a crazy idea. This is Frankenstein. That being said, in all practical terms, what do we do in our practical life? How does this connect to natural law? Those are the way I'd like to go with a couple.
I'll start out by saying I think one of our goals is to have inner monarchy. Anarchy is the worst external, but you have inner monarchy, and a clergy have to you manage yourself in your life. So starting with self, developing the self-knowledge, and learning about your psychology and how it works, and then doing that deep work and exploration. Shadow work.
AI do that, by the way.
I don't think AI can do shadow work for you. I mean, certainly AI could give you questions. And, like, I'm not saying it has to be all or nothing. There can be a lot of ways of problems, questions, and knowledge. But the key is don't believe that they're here. You always have to ask a question in mind. And continue the idea of being using the trivial process. Of seeking information from every individual. How to study forces as possible. Having your left brain, your right brain, reading and listening and talking and thinking, putting yourself in different perspectives. So I think that coming back to the fact that we are the technology that is ultimately being harvested by this
I don't have to write it anymore. Because, yeah, totally. It is what it is. I don't mind, people use that in ChatGPT for things, to really use it as a tool, even though a really good argument could be made that it's more than just a tool. And I do agree with that. That's where the Brandon Spencer from the One Great Was Warriors, but, we ain't got time to get into that type of stuff. But, yeah, it's beyond just a simple computer tool, whatever, right? So, but having, when human beings allow a computer to think for, themselves, like, what are we doing? We're allowing, gaps and holes to come through our, that are widening the synapse gap, whatever, that's, in our cranium.
Creating holes in the brain and worry less about that skill sets.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is really keeping that balance in the left, right hemisphere, the triune brain and everything, and you talked about tuning it out.
Exercising the cortex, the thinking brain that makes us human, that makes us human, is our capacity to think, to use our neocortex. We are operating out of our amygdala, our five instincts, right? But we are not using our cortex to our full capacity. So that's
wake up, Neo.
That's where we can risk being lured into a trance, with this AI dance.
Speaking of dance, being able to move your body or stand up and balance on one foot, if you don't practice that, you can lose that skill. Pretty soon you're not able to do it. So the way we go through these conversations and talk philosophy, I'm one of those people that thinks that the word philosophy is underrated. As I talked about that in the book, people think of philosophy as dusty shelves and, old guys who meander on the thoughts that go nowhere.
Just ideas.
And in truth, it's your sword and your shield in this world of, if this was Dungeons and Dragons, that's your sword and your shield, or your ability to fight dragons. It's your ability to make your way in this world. Is to come up with a philosophy that aligns enough with what you think and what you do to where you can operate in this world and get along with other people. That's a big part of the context of the situation. We are under this system of slavery. And it's not easy to be in this situation, especially when you recognize how terrible it is, and then to function in this situation. Same thing with AI. We can't just make it disappear. We can't just make government disappear. We have to live with the consequences of the choice of the whole group of people we're in, which is humanity. And that choice is to really get deep in this experimentation with extreme forms of technology that literally can kind of have a mind of their own. But, you know, there's still this spirit. There's still the spark of God and life that is within us that no computer or thing can have, right? I mean, isn't there a separation? Can it ever be really its own divine thing?
Without humans, it wouldn't exist.
Right?
It would lose its juice.
Exactly.
And I just want to clarify in terms of natural law, we're not just choosing what is right and wrong. We are understanding what, you know, the consequences of natural law is. We violate human rights. We violate our rights, and there are consequences. And that involves, I think, thinking ahead more than the immediate, right? We have to think ahead into the future and generational impacts and multi-generational impacts. And that's where I think that our insights are being created. And I think that we have to do an opportunity to like slow back. And we need to look at patterns. And we need to be prepared to suspend the rap to be super saying no and not participating in that. Or finding ways to hold on to like intrinsic skills, like building. Carpentry, you know, community, you know, growing, so, you know, finding ways to detach and be less dependent on this machine and not as dependent on moving to a machine because it has to stand up. So ultimately, it's all about developing the inner product, which is not being dependent, you know, looking to an external source to give you the answer way. We can really learn how to discover the truth that's right now through our interaction with our fuzzy nature. And I think that if we get too tangled into the AI, we think they're ruling, they have the answers, we're forgetting that we are the originators of truth in our harmony with nature.
And, you know, that's the good old fashioned wisdom of know thyself. You know, we know. We have to constantly remind ourselves of the importance of that. But also, I would say, other people that we talk to, listen to, commune with, consider their point of view, gives ours more credence. Like, in other words, if somebody spends all their time alone, you can do all the research in the world on the internet. If you're not interacting with other beings, you know, each mind, each being is a connection to the crystal. I call it the divine crystal, a connection to the God, the great all. And if you're ignoring the power of that, you're missing a big part of the picture. You know, reading books is great. Don't get me wrong. It's the minds that was the divine connection to other people, but it's not the same as actually interacting with other beings and considering why they're saying what they're saying and when and how and the context of why and putting that all into the soup of your own process of figuring out that philosophy that I'm saying is so important for yourself to this world to understand what's happening around you. Really, what's happening?
Right.
What on earth is happening?
And also to feel in real time the synergy, you know, of being in unity, consciousness with other people, right? Even just a simple idea of working together in unison to be a project. It's idea of, you know, more than one, and you combine that energy in all of these ways.
It's like the Three of Pentacles.
In
the tarot, Three of Pentacles. Yeah, but a picture of people like building a construction site.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Pentacles are very grounding, like, earth-based things, material.
It's the five, right? The four directions for them. Yes, feminine principle. No, it's all good.
I'm curious what you have to say about what we've been saying too, Derek.
Yeah. There was like a couple of tangents I wanted to run off and just got a little bit. we are the true technology, and when we really bring it back to ourselves and realize, like, yeah, this interface, the digital realm and all that stuff, that's cool and convenient and all that. It can help us advance in a lot of ways, but it's also distracting us a little bit if we're caught up too much in that realm from our own selves, our own humanity, and people can easily lose touch with some of those human elements and stuff. Kind of like what I mentioned with the, you know, the instant gratification factor. You know, it's like when you interact with people, it's like, I think that's why people are so easily offended or whatever, because, you know, they can't just, you know, easily ignore or block someone online like they can on social media and stuff. They actually have to hear someone face-to-face, eye-to-eye with, you know, someone. So are they going to be a thinker, or are they going to be authentic, you know? Are they going to be the real authentic individual, the real AI, or be an artificial idiot? Is that sort of like
to actually manage your nervous system in real time with the energetics of a human contact, you know, where you have to actually, that's the looking at you, and you see yourself, you know, I mean, there's all different dynamics that happen as they grow us from being in person.
Yeah, like, I was thinking of setting boundaries, you know, like, that's been one of the more difficult things in my lifetime by the learning experience, is like, in relationships with various people, you have to find that part of yourself that can set boundaries on what's okay with you and what's not, and what you're willing to do and what you're not. And that's a hard thing to learn in life, but to speak up for yourself if you're someone who's quiet, but, or if you're overbearing personality, to learn to throttle back. You know, and going through those processes takes trial and error.
In real life, you know, it's still said, I was just studying if you're not through the let out. It is through practice, basically, through the let practice facing the fear, facing what people that is comfortable, that it changes, that it rebirths, that it scribbles. The whole nervous system changes. And so our ability to have it be balanced and within ourselves knows our resilience struggles. We have to, you know, kind of sharpen the sword very
practice makes perfect, or, you know, close to it, and all that, and like, just like open communication and having that patience and all that stuff with whoever, especially if you're in a relationship, you know, friendship, and all that stuff. But, like, a lot of my friends, you know, they're all in the spectrum, not like autism or whatever, but, you know, the polarized divides who. Why, right? It's like people are kind of conditioned to the text even this and that, and like emojis and this and that. In real life, you can't emoji your way out of a conversation, right? Body language is one thing. And I think, like, people that are, like, so focused on, like, communication on the digital, they're not really they're not hitting the social spheres. So, like, they're kind of awkward and relaxed. So all of a sudden, you have, like, all these symptoms of, you know, health issues and gender dysphoria, whatever the fuck, they feed us through these, you know, programmatic narratives and shit.
I was thinking earlier today about the small vibration and the energetics. The energetics.
It's a presence song, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's an energetic mastery here. We talk about emotions and the ability to navigate stress, social stressors, and stuff, solve problems. And that, when you don't look to this external, you know, thing to solve your problem, and you have to figure things out in real time with people. There's not knowledge. Having knowledge of energetic principles and sound principles is our tool, it's our power. That's pretty much being withheld from us. That was one of the things I realized when my sound presentation, my music presentation was, there's all this knowledge, this really profound and important to understanding ourselves in our power and how we can dance with our reality and the world. But we are being held ignorant of it. Yes. And totally limited, and it's a plot, and it's not considered real medicine. And I think that's on purpose, because all of humanity really understood that. really powerful.
Yeah, they could read themselves, they could read the room better.
As you were speaking, too, I was hearing the wind speaking up. Vibration and sound. And
Mother Nature's confirmation again, my friend.
Exclamation. Because part of the reason we're sitting out here is we created this spot to be, and I like to hang out outside as much as I can. I would say, as far as the takeaways of this talk, or something someone listening might want to consider, we're suggesting, more time having actual discussions with real people whenever possible. So learn change. It helps you just on your own discernment when you learn the context of what other people think on various things. The more you do that, the more exercise you get. Like I was saying, you learn to be more balanced in your thinking. But by spending more time outdoors in the vibration of sound, of wind or nature, that's going to bring you closer to the divine and the feelings of your consciousness.
Yeah.
Be in a place of peace and be able to accept truth and be able to work through,
That's a good place for us.
We got to go to a funnel conference right now.
And we're going to go have a meeting. Meeting time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We pulled it off. We just like put a camera in front of us and get us talking.
I think that was good. You made some great points and all that shit. Right. Chris, you see, brother? Oh, shit. This is still recording? What's cracking? Oh. Look at this guy. No, just kidding. Oh, shit. We're all busted.
Now go. Well, you got Barry. Grab a
cheers.